Welcome to Coffee Stains on My Bible. This is a devotional website aimed at helping you cultivate a daily practice of prayer, Bible study, and personal reflection to enrich your spiritual life and help equip you to splash the love of Jesus Christ on the world around you. Each day's devotion will include a prayer, a Bible reading, a personal reflection on that passage, and a meditation for application of the scripture for our daily lives. I'm Christy Tennant Crispin, and I'm delighted that you're with me on this journey. Episode 2, Prepare the Way, Mark 1, verses 1 through 28. I'm going to begin each devotion with a short prayer, and I invite you to pray with me right now, or you can pause this and pray on your own, and then continue on. God, as I approach this passage of Scripture, please open the eyes of my heart so that I may know your truth. Help me to focus my entire mind on the words of Scripture and guard me from distractions as I seek to know you better. Show me how the words in this passage can help me know you better and can help my life be for your glory today. Amen. So today I'm looking at Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 28. It's about half of the first chapter of Mark, and I'm going to go ahead and read these verses from the English Standard Version. I invite you to listen, and as you're listening, make a mental note of any words or phrases or concepts or ideas that strike you as you're listening to these passages. And then in a few minutes, I will share my own reflection on this passage. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. John the Baptist had an important role in the coming of Christ. He was preparing the hearts and minds of his friends for the day when the long-awaited Messiah would come. When it comes to evangelism, to sharing the good news of Jesus, it is all too easy to neglect the importance of preparing the way. In our zeal to tell the story and see people turn to Jesus, we forget that every heart is in process, and sometimes people are just not ready to respond to the gospel with repentance. This reminds me of Ezekiel 36, verse 6, which says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." This passage talks about the two conditions of the human heart: hard, stone, and soft, flesh. Most of our heart conditions live somewhere in the middle of these two extremes, neither being totally hard-hearted nor totally pliable. We live with echoes of rebellion against God and disobedience, hardness, but also moments of submission to God and obedience, softness. But in order for us to open up to Jesus, our hearts must be softened. A hard heart cannot respond to good news of any sort with joy. As we engage with people around us day to day, we must keep in mind that we are part of their lifelong journey, and they're part of ours. Whether our interaction is momentary, a transaction with a cashier, for instance, or ongoing, like working together every day in the same workplace, we might play a key role in preparing the way and making his path straight, rather than always being the one to experience that moment when the switch is flipped and a transfer of allegiance takes place. Rather than preparing the way for the gospel, I fear that many Christians, myself among them, actually place obstacles or stumbling blocks in the way, making it harder for someone to encounter Christ. This can come in the form of being overly opinionated about our political views without the context of real conversation to talk about why we believe what we believe. It can also take the shape of saying something that is true, but in a graceless way that is unnecessarily alienating. And of course, hypocrisy is a huge stumbling block for many people. It is for me. I was in a conversation recently with two women. One was a new friend I had just learned had been married and divorced several times. The other was another new friend who is a Christian, who's been married to the same man for decades. In her desire to witness, my Christian friend made a comment about marriage that was biblical and true and right. But in the context, it left my divorced friend feeling judged. The disapproval she felt left her feeling alienated, and the last thing in the world she wanted was to associate with my Christian friend. By the same token, during another conversation when she was feeling a little bit safer, she confessed to her own sense of failure and grief over her multiple marriages. She's a broken, hurting woman. And I'm convinced that the best way to share the love of Christ with her right now is to listen to her and love her right where she is. That's sure what I want when I'm the one who's failed at something. She doesn't need anyone to point out that she's a failure. She already believes this to be true. What she needs is the revolutionary grace that flows from the cross through gracious followers of Christ. On the cross, every failure and disappointment was covered by Christ. In Christ, failure becomes nothing more than the amplifier for the hope, redemption, and life-giving love that flows in endless plenty toward the open hearts of broken people. Imagine what would happen if Christ's followers were most known for this kind of love. Sometimes our role in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ is to remove obstacles like shame and judgment and make the way straight by walking in grace beside others along the road. So as you consider applying this to your own life today, here's a question. How are you preparing the way of the Lord today? If you'd like to read more from this blog, please visit coffeestainsonmybible.com. And thanks for listening.